NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
NAFTA podcast back yet again. It's the last regular season pod of the Premier League year. We're here to recap a few things, mainly what happened in the relegation battle. Tottenham did finish above Arsenal to get the last place into the Champions League. And then, obviously, who ended up winning the Premier League itself on the last day? We got Dylan. We got Michael. Nick, hopefully up by 10 in the fifth inning so they can run rule a team here. Coaching. We'll miss them. But did want to start the podcast, you know, with a typical hypothetical question, and it's one that Michael and I asked each other while on the phone. Dylan, you're the only person that can answer this because you're the only Wolves fan I know. Do you care more about winning a Premier League or going to the Champions League and doing well in the Champions League?
Good question. I want the hardware because we would never win the Champions League. However,
wait,
I think the fact that you have to think about it is
yeah. Wait, did he just say that he knows he'll never win the Champions League, so he'll take the Premier League where there's a chance he could win it? So does that mean the Champions League's harder?
Yeah,
because
I know that, like, I yes.
Damn.
Listen, when you know your competition, it's like playing divisional rivals. Anything goes. When all of a sudden you have to go play someone from Spain we've never seen before, fucks us up.
I don't know.
Michael, was that the question we had to? Because I know that we were talking about something where,
yeah,
like,
you did not even do it kind of justice.
And in all honesty, I just freeballed.
I said that Premier League and the Champions League are the two biggest trophies, and I say you can make an argument either way which one is harder to win or not. Yeah, and I said what's the next trophy? What's the next most important trophy? And I said, I feel like the Europa League is like a big deal. It should be a big deal. It's winning a Europa.
I'd rather have the FA Cup.
That's what I said. Yep, I said the FA Cup is 3. Then I said Europa League is probably 4. But if you're not in Europe, you don't give a fuck. So it kind of like, it's only for teams that can, like, I don't know, like, Watford's never going to get into Europe, so they don't care about the Europa League. But then after that,
This is actually what the question should have been. Dylan, you are battling for 6th place next year, and you're in the final 4 of the FA Cup. You're going to Wembley. Where do you want to rest people?
Easily. This is so easy.
You go win the cup. It's a lot easier to go. Well, I mean, it's not easier, but you have a better chance of getting your automatic qualification that way than...
Yeah, I guess that's true, too.
Not to jump the gun, but we just decided to lay. I think we got 1 point in our last 8 games, so, like, I'd rather go win the cup.
Yeah, you were rusted and you didn't win.
No, you got 2 points. I got to see 2 draws.
All right, maybe we got 2.
Norwich, and that's a tough draw.
Yeah.
And Chelsea. All right, so I totally butchered that opening. What else is new? Maybe year 3 I'll get better at this. The one other thing I did want to say is, and not to pat ourselves on our own backs here, but I'm pretty sure we did an episode almost every week. I think we might have missed 1 or 2 weeks where we didn't have one. And in all honesty, that's kind of impressive, especially a bunch of people that have no background in this whatsoever.
Baby claps.
Actually have social lives, most of us. Sorry, Michael.
Yeah, sorry.
Being in school. But yeah, I mean, what we do, a wedding, a honeymoon, a proposal, school, and Nick being the coach of 17 different programs at his high school, we still managed to get the pod going almost every week. So I did want to shout us out. And with that, like, Mac, who listens to the podcast a ton, Hank, who actually gives feedback on the podcast every once in a while, I'm sure he listens a bunch too. Don't really want to shout out that high schoolers who listen, because I kind of want to, you know, get away from that. But, you know, just being honest, I don't need this to be the most popular podcast in history 1A. But it was between, tough. It was crazy.
In 16-year-olds. No, yeah, no offense. I'm sure you'll all grow to be great people.
Yeah, but we're moving into TikTok. That's where our demographic is.
That's not a good heavy. It's not a good transition to be a part of.
With the hezzy hay.
Speaking of a team that would have loved to be in 16th place, Burnley. Finally, we can finally put an end to the cockroaches. They are officially relegated in losing their match against Newcastle 2-1, and Leeds in turn winning their match against Brentford 2-1 on the last day. There will be an American coach in the Premier League at the beginning of next year, and he's Jesse Marsh leading Leeds United. Dylan brought up a really good point last week that we should all be supporting him, and we should be, for sure. But I still want to let you lead off with this because you've been the biggest advocate for American players and him on this podcast since you joined. So let me get your first thoughts, and are you dancing on the grave of Burnley while wearing a kit?
I'm going to pass this to Michael because I know he really wants to speak.
Oh, no, it's okay. I didn't have anything nice to say, if I'm being honest.
About Burnley?
No.
About Jesse Marsh. He was going to go on American.
No. Man. It's not even a bad thing. I honestly don't know the answer to this, but are we sure he's the coach next year?
I'm like 95% confident he's the coach.
I'm not 100% sure.
You want to bet on it?
No, I do not. Because I think he probably is, but I could see a world where they, like, bring somebody else in.
I don't think he takes the job unless it's guaranteed that if we stay up, I'm still
the
coach.
You know what? That's probably a good point. So he probably is the coach. No, so never mind.
Yeah. I mean, also, insane not to go straight stats. The Bielsa ball is tough. They are going to survive, and they gave up 79 goals this year, which is insane.
Dude.
And I think he kind of turned that around.
Do you want to...
15 points.
Keep you guys take this one for right now, and then come back to me in like a second, and I will read you off a stat.
You want us
to
monologue? Okay.
No.
Dylan, anyway.
Here's my thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Burnley jersey because... I'm so happy I don't have to burn it if they had stayed in, like I had claimed. So it will now just stay in my closet as my hot take is they go full Sutherland and just keep dropping and dropping and dropping. Also, shout out Sutherland to at least get up to League One. So, you know, making their way back.
Fuck Sunderland.
Anywho.
Fuck Sunderland.
Are they in the championship now? You're right. Sorry, they're in the championship.
I'm a Geordie. Yeah. Fuck Sunderland.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I didn't expect them to get their one tie they got, but it was pretty spot on to where I didn't see them getting a win anywhere. Leeds did what they needed to do. I think Jesse Marsh now getting play, like, I think Leeds is the type of club that will put some money behind him to let him get the players he needs to implement his system. Hopefully, yeah. I would love it if he brings Brendan Aaronson over, just because I think it's another... at this point, just keep getting everyone ready for the World Cup, selfishly. So, ultimately, I'm happy for Leeds. I'm happy they're still in. I'm happy I don't have to go to Turf Moor and just lose 1-0 when we should be winning 3-0.
To double off of your point, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think Nick joked about it the most. You're like, if Everton goes down, they could do a Sunderland. I actually think out of every team going down, every team that was in the running of going down, Burnley, legitimately financially, is going to be kind of fucked. They don't have the backing or like the parachute payments that Norwich and Watford have had for the past four years to know how to survive this. And it will be super, super interesting to see what happens to them next year, because if they do indeed go down again, I think we won't be seeing turf more in the Premier League for a little bit.
If they come right back up, I will put on a proper English protest to make sure that they go back down.
I actually want to go the opposite. If they come back up, I may start just feeling for them a little bit and be like, all right, like at Burnley, I'm cool with them. Michael, any last points for this one?
Yes. So you're talking about like the Bielsa way and stuff like that. So like even when Jesse Marsh came in, they still did a lot of that, even though it was a little bit more controlled. I just want to read you a stat here. So the second total sprints, teams total sprints in the Premier League, the number two team was Norwich, and that's mainly because like they were getting just fucking peppered the entire time. Number three is Liverpool. They were both had about 5,250 sprints on the year. Guess how many sprints Leeds had?
How many did Liverpool have?
5,250, like around there. And so did Norwich. They were two and three. Leeds was one.
6,500.
They were 1,250 more sprints than the next team.
Fast break football, baby.
Dude, they're insane. They just run. That's all they fucking
That's why Rafinha was going. That's why Rafinha was on his knees going across the field. Exhausted.
I was just about to say, I don't want to make this a religious podcast, but good enough reason not to believe in God.
Is that why he was doing that?
Hey, there's a whole article about, like, in South America, when God answers a prayer, you have to repay him, and he repaid him by walking the entire field on his knees.
So, got it.
Anyway.
I could do that. I mean,
to all you people out here that didn't know I was an atheist, now you do. It's crazy. What constitutes a sprint? Can you say it in 30 seconds or less?
No.
4-4-40.
Okay.
Good deal. So the Mike D'Antoni leads back in the Premier League. They're staying up. Burnley going down. Your relegated teams are as followed: Norwich, Watford, Burnley, Leeds, and Everton stay up. Just a real quick point. I want to make sure we involve a little Hank on here. If there's ever been a team out to the golf course, out to the beach, out to lunch on the last day of the season, the 5-1 defeat from Arsenal to Everton is key. Like, Everton just did not give a shit. They
deserved it.
Yeah. They took the day off.
Hank, get your man.
For sure.
Losing 5-1 and still having the nuts to send out a tweet like that. I mean, just incredible.
All right. If we're talking about Champions League spots, how did it end up? How did the Europa League end up? West Ham in 7th gets the conference. United ended in 6th, disappointing loss to Crystal Palace on 58. Arsenal in 5th, misses out on Champions League with 69 points. Nice again. Dylan, we're 11 points clear at the end of turn number 1 on our 3-year bet. You love to see that. And then the Champions League spots round out with Tottenham in 4th on 71, Chelsea in 3rd on 74. And then the main show: Liverpool was playing Wolves, Man City was playing Aston Villa, managed by Steven Gerrard, and two players that are just absolute Liverpool legends in Coutinho and Danny Ings on the bench and on the field. Don't give me that face. You know you love the Instagram.
I do. I do love Danny Ings. I don't know if he's a Liverpool legend.
Liverpool legend. Well, last day of the season, playing at the same time.
Everybody does.
All three of us are involved in this, so let's just go through some of this emotion that we had going on. I know that, Michael, you had multi-TVs set up, multi-screens set up. I was just watching my own game because in my head I was like, if we just win, I know it's over. I don't give a shit. Dylan, what was your setup like?
I was just watching the Wolves game because I had the Delaware men's lacrosse game on my iPad because they were playing to go to the Final Four, so kind of had right.
What an awful sport lacrosse is.
Oh, okay. Oh, says the baseball player. If you were an athlete, you would have played lacrosse.
Whoa.
All right. Anyway, not to get sidetracked there.
I'm lucky Nick's not on
here. If I was a rich private school white kid, then yeah, I would have played lacrosse.
I went to public school, still played.
Hey, you're an exception to the rule then.
All right.
So are my teammates, Boomer Roasted.
The game started as followed. Follow's first goal in both of these games was a Pedro Neto goal, putting Wolves up 1-0 in the Liverpool Wolves game. I didn't know this, but you guys, Liverpool started the game down 1-0, like four of the last five, something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Anyway,
also, goal wait, goes hold in. On. I'm going to get ahead of this real yeah. quick. I did not know you could not be offsides on a goal kick, nor did I know you couldn't be offsides on a corner.
Oh.
I knew you couldn't be offsides on a throw-in, but the other two,
yeah.
I had no clue. So
the funniest shit ever, Dylan, was I saw this conversation going back and forth between Michael and Nick. I had no clue that you couldn't be offsides on a goal kick either. Just knowing Michael, I was like, please someone find the actual answer here, because this is gonna blow up. This is going to be a reason that they're actually going to get enough.
Oh, I looked it up. Dylan.
It was the right answer.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Dylan, I want to call your ass out, though, because I said, who kept him on? And you said, everyone. Yeah, so everyone. You didn't even know what the fuck you were talking about either.
No, his answer
no I'll be honest. The replay already went by. I had no idea he was even in an offside position. I was more just laughing at the fact that if I ruin your day, this is going to be the funnest day ever.
I mean, Dylan did not chatter this much during the City game, so, you know, there's another.
Well, it's kind of tough when it was 5-1 within, like, the first, like, 10 minutes.
All right, Pedro Neto scores in the 3rd minute. Michael, initial thoughts?
I honestly wasn't super worried.
We scored too early.
Yeah, there's, like, way too much of the game left. I mean, we always score a goal. We're probably going to score two. Like, just don't give up another one.
Who's the there is an announcer that says too early.
They said it during our game, like, hey, there's so much time left, probably doesn't matter. And I was like, well, fuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michael was right. In the 24th minute, Sadio Mane gets an equalizing goal, and they got Liverpool even with Wolves. I think where it got super spicy and super interesting is 13 minutes later in the 37th minute of the Villa Man City game. Matty Cash just heads in an absolute bullet that borderline Ederson got some fingertips on. Should have been in a better position. But 1-0 Villa up. A Lucas Digne, who, by the way, I didn't text this, but I've been thinking about it. Lucas Digne looks a little bit like Hank. Just based off some Instagram posts that I've seen.
Yeah, he does.
And Aston Villa is up 1-0. I'll tell you what, I kind of felt the same way you did. It's a little later in the game, though. But I definitely had more fear in me than I'm sure you did once Wolves went up 1-0, because we actually don't score. Even though we scored more goals than you this year, we do not score as quickly and as often as I feel like you do.
My initial thought, which obviously didn't happen, was I was going to tell Michael to say thank you to the Wolves for scoring so early, because if that news went around, I think it made City not play as hard. I'm sure they were playing hard, but maybe they relaxed a little bit too, knowing that they had that result, which then possibly led to the first goal happening.
Michael and I talked about this during the game too, where I was pretty sure, on the side of, I don't think the players know. Like, I actually don't think, and I've listened to enough podcasts and enough stuff afterwards to know now that the players absolutely
know. Dude, every corner that you guys took.
Yeah.
Every corner that you guys took, the fans were telling them shit. When we scored the second goal, the fans were, like, Joel Matip literally looked at the fans and said, what's the score, what's the score? And they were like, 3-2, 3-2. And because Salah thought he won it. Like, he thought he won the fucking game.
Which, is it confirmed that it was an actual Liverpool person that started the rumor? I heard Wolves initially.
Love that, by the way.
ridiculous.
It was, somebody saw it on Twitter, and then, like, a group of fans, like, started cheering, and then the whole stadium started cheering.
No, apparently.
They said it was 3-3.
Yeah, I know that. The one thing I know the Wolves fans were doing is that apparently whenever it went 3-2 City, they started cheering just to counteract the Liverpool fans.
Oh, yeah.
When Villa was cheering.
Insane.
Yeah.
Everyone wants us to win, though.
Way ahead of ourselves. Oh, my God. Getting way ahead of ourselves. 69th minute in the City game. Villa goes up 2-0, and it is, of course, Philippe Coutinho. At that point, I was just telling Dylan, it goes in. I stood up, and I looked at my phone, and I go, well, I better charge this because I was going out that night. And I just sat on the floor. And I was defeated. I was done. I was just sitting there. Alexis fell asleep on the couch. Shout out to my wife. Thank you for the support. And it was just way too serendipitous for it not to finish that way, that Coutinho scores and Gerrard beats us. And I was just like, all right, it's over. And that's how I felt. How'd you feel us being down 2-0, Michael?
I had a similar thought that you had being up 2 against Real Madrid. And I thought, so actually, because I was Yeah, use your brain. Thank you. When you scored the first goal, I said, get to halftime. And I was like, there's no way they're going to get to halftime. It's going to be tied by halftime. And then Villa did. And then I said, okay, now you just can't give up a goal in the first 10 minutes. You cannot give up a goal in the first 10 minutes. And then they scored like after what, 20, 25 or whatever it was, 24. And I was like, I literally had the thought, holy shit, they have to score 3 goals in 20 minutes. And then the next two or three times I looked down at the screen, you guys fucking scored. So
I was sitting there when it was 2-0 saying to myself, I really hope we park the bus. This will be so much fun.
Just
I wanted anarchy. Like, if
like dropping points.
The moment when it realized it could have happened, that both of you could have lost or dropped points, I was kind of just rooting for that and having you back into the championship because I would have just found that really, really funny.
It would have been insane because, what, there's 8 ties for Liverpool and 2 losses this year, 6 ties, 6 draws, and 3 losses for City this year. I think over the last, what, 5 years between our two teams, we probably have, in total, less than 20 losses between us and less than 30 draws. Like, it would have been just the most insane way for the game to end. Michael, were you at all nervous that you guys weren't scoring either, though?
That, so when it was 1-1 and Thiago got hurt and went off, and our midfield was basically, I think it was Milner, Henderson, and then Firmino came in, so he was like playing like a CM role or whatever. I was kind of like watching us and going like, man, we look like we're just passing it around the box. And then I started to get like, if we fucking tie this game and you guys lose or draw, I'm gonna be so goddamn mad. But
then
I
brought Ruddy in, and you're like, everything's gonna be okay.
And then what?
We brought Ruddy in, and you're like, everything's gonna be okay.
Well, yes, yeah, Saw got hurt early on, didn't he?
Yeah, like right at halftime.
Ruddy made a couple good saves though.
He made. I know, but he's not the guy who's gonna lead us to victory.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't keeper of the season. But
Jose Sa, arguably top 3 keeper in the Premier League. He is not.
It's just. Yeah, one. I mean, he's just the best keeper this year.
You're burying the lead on your next piece.
I'm just gonna tell you what they are because I'm not. No one fucking reads it.
Okay.
So,
you don't know about our page views. Anyway, so you were nervous a little bit.
Yes, I started to get a little nervous.
Okay. And then from there. 69th minute, 70. I didn't think we had enough time. I just told you, I sat down. I was sitting there on the ground with my phone charging in my own apartment. I have multiple places where I could actually sit on the seat and charge my phone, and I just chose not to. And next thing I knew, Sterling had the ball on the right flank, and he dinks it over the keeper to Ilkay Gundogan in the 76th minute, and City gets one goal in. We're down now 2-1, and I have no idea why this happens, but I feel like it is the psychology of, like, sports. I actually got so confident at that point, and I don't know why. Because we weren't doing anything that looked that great the whole game. I think that Tyrone Mings and Chambers had insane games. I think they at least had 10 block shots each. At least it felt that way. So we score the first one. Next thing I know, Zinchenko, the ball on the left-hand side, passes it back to Rodri. He passes it in the goal in the 78th minute. And then off of just a turnover ball or a dink ball off of Mings, De Bruyne gets the ball, passes it to the back corner, and Gundogan is there again in the 81st minute. And all of a sudden, the game is just totally different. And I'm euphoric. So that was my account of it.
Yeah, I really needed the play-by-play. Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's what we were doing. That's why I got a podcast. 5 minutes and 36 seconds, I believe, is the amount of time to score three goals for us. Pretty insane. Dylan?
I want to congratulate you because City is in some prestige. Just listen to where I'm going, Michael. City's in some prestige company. Do you know that City is one of two teams to be down 2-0 to Aston Villa this year and come back and win 3-2?
Is it me and you?
Yep. So, congratulations.
So, the other crazy stat is the last time that we went down in back-to-back Premier League games is like 2.5 years ago. And I can't imagine, I didn't look it up because we don't have stat people. The last time we were down 2-0 in back-to-back Premier League games has to be before, like, 2011, 2010, I would have to assume.
That you were just behind?
Like
you were just at one point behind in the game?
Or down 2-0.
Or behind two goals. Oh, okay. Probably, yeah.
Behind two goals, yeah. I was talking to Michael about this after the game. I know, Dylan, you asked this question, like, who's going to call who first? Michael actually called me. Very big of him. And I, when we lost to Real Madrid, I couldn't explain it. And I was just like sitting there and like just got gut punched, kicked in the balls, and like my heart ripped out all at the same time. And it wasn't like I really felt like the players did anything wrong or Pep did anything wrong. I felt the same way for Villa. Like, I don't think they did anything wrong. I think we just scored. Like, we just scored three times. It makes no sense. And that's truly how it felt.
Trust me, I get it. We just took 10 minutes to do it, so I mean, that's why you guys have, you know, the trophy and we don't, so understood.
Yeah, feel ya. Michael, I'll let you talk now. I know you have a smirk, so
I don't have a smirk.
What are your thoughts?
I'm trying to control my dog right now. He's looking at me like, sorry. He's looking at me like I gotta go take a piss, even though he was just outside like right before this. Yeah, dude, I don't know what you do when a team, you just go out and score three goals in 5 minutes. Like, part of me wants to say, how the fuck do you give up three goals in 5 minutes? Like, there has to be that thought in your head when the first one goes in, you just, like, lock down defensively for, like, 10 minutes to make sure you don't get another, like, give up another goal. But at the end of the day, I mean, how many games did you guys win compared to how many you lost this year? Like, statistically.
29-3.
Yeah, so then after you scored those three goals, then we scored the two, so we won the game too. So we both ended up winning. But I put in the chat to no reply, when it was 1-1 and you guys were down 0-2, we had a 68% chance to win the league at that moment in time. Yeah. Right before Gundogan scored, at the latest point in time, we had a 68% chance to win the league. And I guess a guy put in a bet for $120,000 that Liverpool would do the quadruple at that point, and obviously, like, lost it.
Damn.
Cash out.
Holy shit.
Well, they refused it. I think he tried to cash. It was $125,000, and I think he tried to cash out for, like, the $120 or whatever, and the site refused it or something like that.
Wow. That's terrible. The one thing I wanted to say is, not the one thing. I don't know why I just said that. I think Steven Gerrard had an incredible game plan. I thought Villa played their asses off and looked really, really tough, which I knew they would. I'm going to get looks for this. I'm going to have people not agree with me on this. Each substitute that we made in the second half did something on each goal. Gundogan scored two. Raheem Sterling assisted one and Zinchenko assisted one. I think this was one of the best coaching performances by Pep since he's been here. And outside of the Aguero in 2012, this is the greatest end to a season for a team winning it possible. just like with like what happened. So, Michael, you guys did score two.
Yeah, thanks.
Garbage goals.
Mo Salah got one.
Garbage goals. Who won the game?
Yeah. Yumin San unfortunately did get two, so he has to split the golden boot with him. And 93 points for City, 92 points for Liverpool, 99 goals for City and 26 given up, 94 goals for Liverpool and 26 given up. Like, I'm not at all trying to be like a sarcastic asshole. The difference between those two teams and everyone else is crazy.
I can tell you the difference in why Liverpool didn't win.
Good.
I'm assuming Michael probably knows this, but I read this and I found it very interesting. When I read it, I was like, you know what? I think City deserved to win because of this stat. Liverpool did not beat a single team in the top four this year. They tied all of them. Win one of those games, you're champions.
Okay, if we beat Leicester, simple. We're champions. If we beat West Ham, we're champions.
I get that, but you know what? But if you want to, but also like, you want to be the best, you beat the best. So instead of tying all of them,
but literally, we could have tied all those teams in one.
Doesn't matter. I don't think he gets my point.
No, it does. I understand your point, but your point is completely blown out of the water if we beat one of the teams we should have beat.
I understand you beat one team you should have beat, but also like, to me, if you know. If the Wolves are going to win the Premier League, I'd like to say I beat all the teams that were right behind me.
It doesn't matter.
Too,
it literally doesn't matter. You don't get extra points for beating the top four teams. You get the same points if you.
You would have gotten two extra points, and you would have gotten two extra points, and I would have won the league.
Same if I would have beat West Ham, who weren't in the top four, I'd have got two extra points as well.
That is true. You didn't lose any of them either.
No, they just tied everyone.
Tied everyone.
Yeah.
It just goes to prove you can't Nashville your way to the championship.
Oh, dude.
That's a deep
cut
for some of our listeners.
The one that fucking hurts, well, it actually doesn't hurt that bad because, like, if we beat Spurs, we would have literally went, what, like 16 unbeaten, in, or, yeah, 16 straight wins in the Prem other than the City game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, 2 points dropped in 16 games is pretty insane. It might actually have been more. So I can't really be mad about that. Like, the Leicester loss hurts really bad. The tie to Brighton at Anfield hurts really bad. Like, you look back at those ones and you're like, man, we definitely should have won those. Like, we lost to Leicester, we should have beat them. We lost 1-0, the only game we didn't score a goal all year. And
yeah.
Brighton, we were up 2.
Barb Tucker, thank you. I gotta send her some flowers.
Yeah. And Brighton, we were up 2-0 and we tied 2-2. I mean, just kind of like that was like
those 2-0 leads are tough, man.
Yeah, just don't go 3-1. Did you say Brighton or Brentford? It was Brentford, right?
Both. We tied
Brentford. Yeah,
we tied both of them. 3-3 and 2-2.
Crazy season, though. I mean, I wanted to do the work and have a stat for this pod for this, but then I remembered that I had a full time job and I couldn't do it. The fact that it's been 93 points, 99 points, 100 points, even like the high. How many points did you guys have when you won it, Michael? Like high 80s, 87, something
like
that?
No, we had 90. We were in the 90s.
You had 90s?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to go back and just take a look at all the Man United teams that I'm sure if we had Nick on the pod, he'd be able to rattle off, you know, who's the second highest assist person.
I can tell you a stat that I think you're getting at.
Do it.
We would have won 24 of the last 29 Premier Leagues with 92 points. And you guys insane. Beat us in two of them, so you would have won 96 of the last 92.
That's insane.
And I know Nick had already said he hates that stat, but, like, I mean, that's the only way you can actually compare teams across years is by point total. So I don't know how you, like...
So... No, I think it's nuts, and I do. I know that, Michael, you and I probably annoyed Dylan and Nick about this enough, but I just... number three is Chelsea at 74, and they are, I think, even more than 18 points off us in IRL. Like, it's just, they're not close.
Oh, Dylan,
has come to an end.
Dylan, we did beat Chelsea. We did beat a team in the top four. We beat them twice on pens.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah, it's actually funny though that you actually didn't.
You still didn't, yeah.
At all,
we like, never, still didn't beat, we never beat them. We never actually beat them like in open play.
Golly, Michael, I'll give you the floor for a little bit. Is there anything you want to add about, you know, this?
I think obviously we lost the Premier League 2 years ago by a point as well. And I think we both actually had more points that year. I think it was like 96 and 95, right?
Yeah. I think it was 98, 99.
Did we get 98 points that year? That's crazy. Look that up for me.
Okay.
I think with how your game ended, how the last day kind of unfolded, and the fact that in the grand scheme of things, not just the Premier League, but in the grand scheme of things, you guys stopped a team potentially winning all four trophies whilst winning in the way that you did. I think it's probably like an all-time great like Premier League season, like top two race. I mean, obviously it's not three teams or four teams or whatever, but the manner in which we came back, we were down 14 points. I think we had a game in hand, so we'll call it like 11, considering we usually win. But I think as a whole, I don't think anybody thought at that point we were going to be back in second. So,
yeah, I mean, I remember us doing a podcast in Man City in 2018, 2019. Man City had 98 points and you guys had 97.
Yeah, okay.
Still,
that's a lot.
And 97 is the third highest total points in history.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane.
Sick.
I think there was a podcast we did around Christmas that I think all of you just said, hey, congrats on the Premier League. Because I think we're 11 points clear. And I naively, I think, said, yeah, it's over. So I know not to do that next year.
Well, I do remember also it'll be a runaway comment too about the Premier League, that it was in the bag if you got Kane, and even if you don't, it's still, you guys are still going to win it by like 5 or 6 points. And
when's a win's a win's a win.
Well, when you specify the win is where it's different.
Yeah, I know.
For whatever it's worth, I only because I re-listened to it, I did say that it would come down to the last day in our preview episode. I just said it would come down to the last day between four teams, so I was just off by two.
You were off by
two teams, one of which was like 14 points back.
Well, also the two teams that I had coming in first and second were Chelsea and Man United.
and the other team was like 40 points behind. my God, that's so funny.
And that's how media excerpts work, folks.
I'm sure some people, this is a little too painful to do if you're a Liverpool fan, for sure, but Jack Grealish has been a must-follow for the past 48 hours. It's been hilarious.
Still a bust.
I saw on Twitter, it's like when you're in a group that gets an A on a project, but you didn't do any of the work.
Sure. I mean, I'm happy to pay the $100 million for the content that I've gotten from him so far.
If $100 million is like nothing for you.
he's been going around telling people that the greatest move Pep made was taking Bernardo Silva off, because he's been off it. He was off it. Miles off it, yeah. He's been hilarious. I guess that's the season. You got nothing else.
Are we going into our questions?
Sure.
So who was the? We'll be happy first. Who was the most impressive, overachieving, had a great season team in the prep? You can give me a couple.
Wolves. No, I'm kidding.
Fuck off.
Go ahead.
If we actually did something down the end of the season, I would have said the Wolves. But I'm going to go with Brighton. Brighton cashing a plus 175 top 10 ticket preseason. So Really happy for them finishing top 10. Shout out Graham Potter. Outside of that, that's all I have, because Leicester finishing 8th is solid for them considering everything that happened, but I don't think that's they're excited about that. West Ham fucked it up.
I think West Ham, I guess,
the only other one I'd say is maybe Crystal Palace or Brentford would be the other two.
Michael, do you want to go?
You can go. I'll go last.
I actually have two managers that I think over fucking achieved, and this is just based off of from the winter on or when they were hired on, which then in tow their teams overachieved. Antonio Conte and Eddie Howe.
That's fair.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Like, I mean, Newcastle made how many purchases? Like both of them just made, I guess, smart purchases. Gomes is the guy for Newcastle we're going to talk about. But he adjusted the team around. Put whatchamacallit in mid instead of up top. What's my guy's
name? Joe Linton.
Yeah, Joe Linton started playing midfield. Incredible job at Eddie Howe. And then there's probably an argument that if we actually looked at statistics and were smarter about this and not American and actually lived in England and knew all this shit, that you could say that Kulusevski was the signing of the year.
I think he mid-year signing. I think he was, for sure.
I think that's the reason they're in Champions League.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Antonio Conte, if he stays, I think that's another one where it's like, my guy could just be off to Paris.
I think he stays because they're in Champions League.
Yeah.
So I think my overachieving team is Brentford. And I'll get to it in a second, why I say that. What did you just say, John? I think Conte did a great job. Spurs also, like, pretty low budget, actually. Like, didn't really spend a whole lot of money. Have a pretty low salary in general. Mm-hmm. Brighton, very good. Crystal Palace, good. I think West Ham overachieved. A lot of people had them getting relegated. A lot of people had them, like, fighting for relegation. Yeah.
And not they got guy.
Well, that's crazy, man, because I feel like they definitely overachieved. They were, like, in, like, Champions League for a little bit. Like, fighting to stay in top four. And even on the last day, they could have gotten to Europa, got sixth place. Okay, my point here is, though, is that I'm looking at this.
For Brentford?
Yes. I'm looking at some of this data, okay? So, Brentford had 46 points on the year. So they paid essentially $1.51 million per point. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the lowest in the league. And salary, they paid $25,000 per point of salary, which is also pretty insane. And they finished, what did they finish, 14th or something like that? Or 13th? That's incredible for a team just coming up. I guess we can go straight into the opposite of this, the teams that were an utter embarrassment. And I have two, and they will go into this. Remember what I just said about Brentford? Manchester United, they spent, in salary, $3.59 million per point in salary. And in, like, market value, 11.95 million.
Tough year. At worst year in Manchester United's history since the Premier League.
They spent the second most money in the Premier League. 900
least amount of wins.
They spent the least, they had the highest salary in the Premier League. They have $208 million salary. Dude, that the next highest is Chelsea at $2.29 million. In salary, and they are $1.3 million higher than Chelsea. And they got, what, 23 or 13 less points than them?
Yeah, and all the people they're paying sit on the bench.
Dude, I know they got sixth, and in a sense, that is, like, kind of, like, salvaging something. I don't know how this changed in any sense, but when Ragnick came in, people really thought, like, he was going to shake stuff up. Motherfucker quit 2 weeks in. Like, dead ass. No, I'm not even kidding. He quit 2 weeks in, And then for obvious reasons, Everton also. Like, I mean, I understand you got up on the last day, you stormed the field, all that shit. You should have never been there in the first place.
Yeah. Real quick, Man United, least amount of wins in the season ever for them, and the lowest goal differential they've ever had in the Premier League was even, zero. Collectively, I think we can all sit here one last time and say, sorry, Nick.
Yeah, no offense.
Nothing sorry, against Nick. You. No offense. Just facts are facts.
Yeah, sorry.
Facts, not feelings. Dylan, most disappointing?
I'm going to say Aston Villa. I had high hopes for them. I thought they spent well, and they were going to come out pretty strong. I know they had a little turnaround with Stevie G coming, but then they kind of hit a lull again. So I'll see if they bounce back next year, but I was ultimately pretty disappointed, at least with where they landed.
I think they're definitely...
I know they're my rival, so I'm happy. Like, fuck them, but still.
I think they're definitely disappointing, for sure. I wouldn't say most, though. But I understand what you're saying. I agree with you,
well,
for sure.
Sorry, I'm not going to come out here and say Man United say this. Just because you just said
well, I mean,
them,
it.
Because
it is. It literally just is Man United. Like, the most.
You're right, but, like, yeah. You know, trying to diversify
shake it up
our
a little
bucket
bit, you know?
Here.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. To go into the same theme as I did for overachieving, my underachieving team actually has to be Burnley. And it's for one reason and one reason only. Your greatest asset to keep you up, you just fired for no reason, to be honest.
That's true.
That was the dumbest, might have been the dumbest move of the Premier League season. Yeah.
Do they hire him again now that they're in championship?
Wouldn't that be fucking hilarious? I mean,
he'd probably take the job.
You think so?
Why not?
No.
I haven't seen him tied anywhere, but
is he coach, going anywhere but Burnley? I mean, could you see him coaching?
Could you
anywhere
imagine
else?
Him anywhere but
that? Exactly.
Anywhere, Burnley just because of Sean Dyche, and then I know I got a big future on him. But Arsenal ending the year with...
I knew you were going to say that.
2-0.
Nope, I disagree.
I completely disagree. I thought that...
I think we might
be
on the same page on this one.
Yeah.
If you told Arsenal they were coming in fifth based off of the years they've been having, I think they'd be stoked
about
it.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. But I think... I guess every team that I've mentioned has been like, hey, in the short term, since Christmas, whatever. I think when you're in touching distance of being in the Champions League for the first time again, you know, in however long.
Injuries.
The team you have to be, yes, definitely. But that happens to every team. But you guys are banged up right now, and you probably feel like shit.
But the injuries team. Literally at the point in which they could have sealed it. Like, they didn't have Thomas Partey for, like, the last, like, five or six games of the year.
Yeah.
They didn't have, like the last game, Gabriel and Ben White were clearly hurt, and they were playing.
Yeah. It's just tough to, you got to compete with Tottenham and you lose 3-0 and then you come back the next day and lose 2-0. It's just tough.
I will say that's fair because I'm pretty sure this is like the sixth or seventh season they've been below Tottenham too. Like, they just can't get above the Spurs,
yeah.
Which I know doesn't make them happy.
Also,
St. Tottenham's Day has not been going on.
The another fun thing that I was reading this article. Let me just find it real quick.
Oh, also, the other point with Arsenal as well, they just needed to sign a striker.
Yeah.
And they just didn't. And, like, much better team if they do. I hope they do it this summer.
Yeah, they might get Harry Kane.
Honestly, my...
So...
That just made us sound like the most American soccer podcast ever.
I mean, obviously, I'm being sarcastic.
I know. You think he'll go?
Arsenal are the, on average, youngest team in the Premier League by an entire year.
Yeah.
Then they are 24, like 24 and, you know, 200 something days. The next is Brentford with 25 and like 200 something days. Like, they're really young.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have experience. It was definitely a situation where you need some sort of like person who's been there before and
yeah.
a leader. And
they need to
that.
Mix it in. If you actually look at their results through the year, you can tell that they're young because the losses or the draws come in bunches. It's like it was three, it was two, it was two ties and two losses. Like that, they just need some older team member in there to kind of right the ship. So I understand, like, at the beginning of the year, if you had told Arsenal fans, hey, you're going to be in fifth, they probably would take it. But once you get to that point, you know,
where we're at. I have a real quick, I have a question.
Yep.
This is my spicy one, Dylan. I didn't even get to the spicy one yet. Chelsea. I think massive underachievement.
I mean, I'll agree with you.
People were picking them to... Yeah, people were... I mean, not like... Not even saying you, Dylan. Like, we're schmucks. Like, we don't have any clue. You know what I mean? People who, like, are supposed to be...
Brentford top 10, just saying.
Brighton, you didn't get the name right.
Except it was Brighton.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's Monday.
People who are supposed to... Like, this is their profession, were saying... Chelsea are going to win the league. Chelsea have the most depth. Chelsea are all this, that, all that, all that stuff, right? We could have said that stuff, and we could be laughed off as fucking dumb, stupid Americans who don't know shit. And that's true. We don't know anything. They won the European Cup. They're supposed to win the Premier League. They invested all this money. They didn't win anything. And they got third by a mile.
And Christian Pulisic, Chelsea's out of that bio real quick.
That's such an
super
American
team
thing
at Leeds.
No, that's such an NBA move. Christian just being American. That's such an NBA move.
That's what I
just
fucking said.
Maybe he got
that's
hat.
The most American thing you could do.
Yeah, my bad. We had the same point.
Takes the league from me and then takes my joke.
Love it.
Insane.
Overachievers, underachievers done. The other question I wanted to ask the crew, because we did this at the beginning of the season, we might as well do it at the end. Next year, how's your top four shaping up? It's way too early. What do they do after, as soon as the NCAA tournament's over, they go way too early, like top 25?
Yeah.
What is your way too early top four?
I want you guys to go. Smart. I want you guys to go so I can decide if I'm going to go ambitious or not.
I have a top five.
Okay.
And I think it's accurate, and there's one in there that is... not really out of left field, but will be kind of out of left field. I obviously got City 1. I obviously got Liverpool 2. I got Tottenham 3. I got Newcastle 4. And I got Arsenal 5.
It will not be that.
We're on
that
the same
quick.
Page.
Well, that's it.
I don't think it will either.
That's actually interesting, though, because from the beginning, like in 2022, they're like the third best team in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Which would, me being the stats guy that I am, would literally say to me, they're going to be a top four. But I feel like it just can't be that good.
I think you have to look at it, though. This is us without knowing anything from the transfer window. So, like, if the team stayed the same as they are, like...
They're pushing West Ham if they stay how they are, I think. And, like, if they make a couple purchases... I think they already have the hardest part out of the way, which PSG still struggles with having all this money. They have the right coach. They have the right guy coaching them. PSG still can't figure that out, and we have not been this dominant before Pep. And like once we got the right coach, I think Eddie Howe's really good. Is he going to be at Klopp or Pep levels? Time will tell. But like right now, he looks awesome.
Think about the handicap that they had, too. They got 49 points. They probably lost, what, like at 20, right?
Yeah.
Like, the beginning of the year, they didn't win a game in the first 14.
Which, if you give them those 20 points, it puts them right in
they're in fifth.
Yeah. Like.
Jesus. Is it Newcastle?
Now it doesn't sound so crazy.
Is it Newcastle?
I'm going to say... I want to pick something different, but I was thinking the same thing. I think it's City, Liverpool. Yeah. I was going to put Newcastle. I don't think they'll be third. So if Conte is still the coach, I will say Spurs third. If somehow he is not the coach, I will say that only because it's recency bias and I love the way he's talking. United end up being third, then Newcastle. I almost thought about putting Leicester back in there, but I figure everyone's old
back
on that team.
Back in there. They've never been in there.
Sorry, back in there till the last day, then they'll go to fifth.
Recently. They've never been in like the top four. They always miss out on it.
That was gonna be part of my Tottenham point too. It's like Conte stays. I think that means Kane stays, and I think they're good. I actually think if Conte leaves, they gotta worry about Kane too.
Yeah,
I think they gotta worry about Kane anyway.
You do?
Yeah.
Michael, can I guess what your top four is gonna be?
Liverpool, City, and then you can guess the two other ones. his face Dylan, just lit up because he's looking at the computer.
Yep.
Dylan was hoping to get at least two of the four right, and he just took it.
Yeah, I knew I was going to get Liverpool, City. I think you're going to go Liverpool, City, Spurs, Chelsea.
Spurs, Chelsea?
Michael?
Sorry, my mom just called me on every device that is in front of me, so I had to like turn them off real quick. And she's okay. Calling me again. She doesn't understand like that. If you hang up, that means you can't talk. I would probably go Spurs 3, and then Arsenal 4.
Interesting. You weren't even in on that bet.
Yeah, she's on the other side.
Yeah, but that bet's over, guys. Like, are you serious? We're still talking about this? Like, you guys won that bet for sure.
It's 3 years.
I know what you're doing, and I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Actually, Dylan fucked us. I'm really not even doing that. I'm just dead ass. Like, who are the young players we're talking about for United now? Like, there aren't any.
They have yet to sign
Van de Beek and Sancho.
No, that's not because that wasn't who we were talking about. They're all gone.
I know.
I'm not like in the equation anymore.
For one reason or another.
Yeah, we won't specify.
Interesting that you had Arsenal. I also always find it interesting when we all agree on something, which means it's totally not going to be true. Tottenham. So we all were pretty impressed with Conte and Tottenham and how they ended.
The only reason I feel that way is because of what Nick said, where Tottenham without Jose Mourinho as their coach has finished in the top four like the past 7 years. That's what kind of switched me around.
Yeah.
Pretty insane.
It is unreal. All right, two early predictions done. Michael, we have one. There's one game left in the season. I'm so sad that soccer's over. That's why I got to get into the Argentinian or Brazilian or maybe the U.S.
MLS.
MLS.
Let's be real.
One game
left.
Don't
knock it till you try it.
It's a gateway drug. What did I say? The MLS is the Sunday league in comparison to the Premier League?
It's the beer league for professionals.
It's a beer league. All right, Liverpool, Real Madrid in Paris. Give us, just go on a rant. Give us your thoughts. Give us what needs to happen. Give us how you're feeling.
Well, Thiago needs to not be hurt. That would be huge. I mean, we should win. So the fact that we should win means I'm immediately terrified of the game.
Just don't go up 2-0.
I mean, that's pretty much it. We won't blow a 2-0 lead.
You guys look tired for sure.
Yeah, but we'll.
Did you feel that way?
We'll be up for that though.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go.
I was gonna say, I've asked you this question once before, so I want people to know I'm not being a troll by asking this question. And I know it's going to sound like I am, but I'm not. You lose the Champions League. Is this a failed year?
It's not a failure of a year. It is an underachievement. Compared to what you could have done, you somewhat underachieved, yes. I would agree. If we win the Champions League, I think we had the best year of any team in 21-22.
For another time, I think.
I don't think it's debatable. I mean, you won the cup treble.
Yeah. I don't know. I find it interesting because we have such a different perspective being American, not living in the UK. I do think that they think the Premier League is a better and harder competition than the Champions League.
Yes, they do. I would say most of them do, but also
I actually think Liverpool is the only club that doesn't, and it's because of all the success you've had in Europe.
I disagree. I think you guys want to win the Champions League more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I definitely want to win it.
But here's my thing. The reason that you are grappling with this as like a who would have a better year if we win the Champions League is because you have very high value of the Premier League, which I think is fair. And I would say that most people in, again, I know like nobody, literally zero people from England. I would say most people also have that view of the Premier League in England. But simultaneously, you have a very low value for the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, where I don't think that's necessarily the case in England.
I think the Carabao Cup, I'm aligned with the people of
right, but you, London, UK, you basically think
but yes,
like
the FA Cup.
Yeah, you basically think the FA Cup is not anything. Where I think people in England fucking love the FA Cup.
I'd love to get one of those.
I don't think it's nothing. I do. I've brought this up to you before. I think they should get rid of the Carabao Cup, and it would make the FA Cup so much more impactful.
Yeah, but then you can never win, like... Well, I guess you could win the treble. But you can't win a quadruple then. Then it's just not a thing anymore, which kind of sucks.
We should do it next year.
That's so stupid.
We should just do it.
The year...
Do it next year.
That's the other thing, too, which I think goes... It goes completely, like, again, under the radar, is that we will have literally... From the, like, the max amount of time you could compete for all four things, you competed for all four things.
Now, you've brought this up so many times, and I agree with it. Like, you are playing every possible game on your schedule this year.
Except for, like, Club World Cup.
Which is insane. But I brought that up, and I quickly was like, that's a dickhead comment.
We also said the Club World Cup and, like, what was the other one? Like, the Club World Cup is like a, it's like a preseason tournament that happens during the year.
Yeah, you could have played in the Community Shield, too, I think.
And the Seattle Sounders are in it this
and
year,
we'll,
so you'll get to play
we'll
against
get to
them.
Play, yeah, we'll get to,
yeah, that'll be sick.
We'll get to play the Community Shield, John, again.
Yeah. All right. Great pod. Way to end the season. Shout out to us.
Do you want to know any
last thing that we need to talk about?
Yeah, do you want to know who won the predictions?
I got some bets, too.
Oh, yeah, let's go ahead.
So...
No. No fucking jokes, though.
So
I got one of those, too.
We'll go from bottoms to top, so it's a little bit more.
Are you counting in my 20 points?
You've been so mean to Dylan this time.
Dude, Dylan has done nothing but just, like, talk about how it would have been so sick if they would have tied or beat us, because then he would have been like, ha, this is the best day of my life, so I don't
listen,
want to hear it.
Michael, if, I don't, if we were playing Man City last game of the season and you were playing Villa, I'd be saying the same things to John. It just happens to be very easy to say.
If it's not, you're making up hypotheticals that didn't happen to justify your point. It's fine, you know. Dylan, 176 and 204. Honestly, that's actually not that bad considering there's three possibilities. Like, it's really hard. Yeah. And you also, this is you taking against Wolves every single time. So maybe I would probably give you. I think you should just pick who you think is going to win the game if you want him to have an accurate assessment.
Just play it straight. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in third. I was 191 and 189. I was
wow.
550, just over 500. John was in third. He was 200.
Second.
My bad. He's the third person I'm talking about. 200 and 180, which is also very fucking good. 52.63% of the time he was correct. But Nick, even though I was also thinking about this, and this is not to disparage Nick in any way, but he did have like a 30-game head start on us to like get to watch the teams before he started picking. But he did have the highest. He's 53%, 159 and 141.
That's
so congrats,
true.
Nick. Good job. Slow claps.
Actually, because I'm petty, I will be looking. Nick's first games that he picked were in match week 11. I will find out my record from 11 on.
You're dick.
And see how that went.
Unless it's worse, and then you won't tell us.
I will never tell any. I'll never tell a soul.
But,
which I'm pretty sure it could be, because I think I started the year with two back-to-back, like, 8-2 weeks. So
The preseason Premier League table, that was the one of two things that I have won this year.
So we're definitely going to talk about it on the podcast for the first time on the last podcast.
Well, there's no reason to talk about it during the year. Like, it's a forever changing thing. I got 48 points. Dylan was 47. John was 35. Brighton killed John. He also had Leeds in ninth, which was like not good. But he did get
not good. But
he did have the top three right: City, Liverpool, Chelsea, and then our randomly started NAFTA.
Wait. Hold on. Before you go on to that, Dylan also predicted Burnley in the exact place that they ended up. I think that's pretty. That's harder than doing the top.
Fuck them.
So did I.
He said, "Fuck them." I know, but you.
Won. I literally picked all the. I literally picked every relegated team correctly.
I got two out of three, but one of them was a spite pick.
Yeah. Actually, fuck Dylan for putting Callis in 19th. Actually, never mind.
Yeah. John's like, whoa. Dylan did this impressive thing that I've never seen, even though somebody else literally did the exact same thing right next to him.
I don't want all this negative energy towards Dylan today.
It's okay.
Hold on. I'll give Dylan some.
He'll come back around.
Negative energy. In our NAFTA teams against one another table that we just kind of randomly made. Man United was in last. They had one win. Scored two goals and gave up 16 for a goal difference of negative 14. Dylan was in third. He had tied on points with three, but had a better goal difference than United. You're welcome, Dylan. We blew them out of the water twice just for you.
Thank you.
City was in second, and Liverpool was in fourth. Both had 14 points. We had a little bit better goal difference than you guys, though.
You mean to tell me we beat Wolves 5-1 and we still lost on goal difference?
Yeah, because we literally beat United by like 9 goals. We beat them 9-0 in 2 games.
Damn. That sucks.
Yeah. I think that's right. And we also beat them 3-1. So like you guys just gave up like a little bit more goals than we did. Like a few more goals. But yeah, so cool. It was a great year. I think John won the most competitions across the board. And then me and Nick were tied for second, and then Dylan, I think you won like two or something, right?
I just want to say I'm coming out like Joe Namath. I will promise to be better next year. I will win a lot more of these games.
Joe Namath, you mean Tim Tebow?
No, I'm just gonna call what I'm gonna do. But yes, I could see how you could see I'm doing a Tim Tebow thing, sitting here at the podium.
All right, with you at the podium, let's jump into your last. I mean, it might not be your last.
No, MLS will be coming all summer.
Yeah. All right, give me what you got going on, bet wise.
So big day on Saturday. Is that Sunday? Saturday and Sunday. So we'll start off with Champions League. We'll take Liverpool plus 110 to win in regulation. We will take under 2.5 goals plus 105. I'll be honest, I'm nervous I'm going to get burnt here because every championship game I feel like goes the under hits, and it's probably due to go the opposite way, but I'm still going to ride that wave. And then we're going to take over 9.5 corners at minus 115 in that game. And then we're going to bring it home with the newly promoted Nottingham Forest plus 115 over Huddersfield. Welcome to the Premier.
I love it. I love the big Forest. Michael, who you got in that one? Hud or Forest?
Everybody has Forest.
Everyone's got Forest.
We actually, so there's an interesting thing. Nick has a 3-1 Forest win. I have a 2-0 Forest win, and you have a 2-1 Forest win. So depending on how they win that game will pretty much determine who wins that category. Because we all have two wins. Dylan unfortunately picked Luton Town. Sorry.
Someone had to do something different.
That's mostly why I think you lose the bets a lot, is because you look at what everyone else does and you just like, well, something different's gonna happen, and sometimes it just doesn't, and then you fuck yourself.
Welcome to my gambling life.
That's not good for gambling necessarily. Actually, I shouldn't talk because I'm ass at gambling, so.
Dylan, final joke for the Premier League. Get us out of here.
So, John, this one's for you.
All right.
It's an oldie but a goodie. What ship is not docking in Liverpool Harbor this year? Premiership. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.